Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, people-powered radio broadcasting from our hideaway studio here in East County. As people across our nation prepare to celebrate Independence Day this 4th of July weekend, all too many of us take for granted the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness promised to all Americans in the Declaration of Independence. But during the border fire that ravaged East County, lives were lost, liberties infringed, and the pursuit of happiness crushed not only by the firestorm, but by bureaucratic bungling and the callous attitudes of some public officials who failed in their duties to protect and serve. On today's show, we'll have harrowing and heart-wrenching stories about desperate efforts to save animals suffering and starving in the evacuation zone, farmers denied help to save their livestock, a town left with no communication with the outside world, and neighbors who desperately tried to get authorities to search for a missing couple in a tale that ends in tragedy. If you're a fire survivor who suffered damage, we'll also have information for you today on how to find recovery resources. In addition, we'll have some safety tips from a fire official for this hot and dry 4th of July weekend. We'll also tell you about the efforts by a La Mesa-based nonprofit, Hope for Iraqi Christians, that has been helping Chaldean Christian immigrant families who are living in refugee camps after fleeing persecution by ISIS. They're seeking local residents willing to sponsor a refugee family and help the organization get matching funds just in time for Independence Day. And then on Destination East County, hear about 4th of July festivities, including a parade, picnics, music, a train ride, and, of course, fireworks, as well as upcoming special events across our region. On the second half of our show today, we'll be airing our annual 4th of July special, featuring our mock interviews with our nation's founding fathers and mothers, telling you in their own words their views on the issues that were important at the birth of our nation and remain just as relevant today. On behalf of all of us here at East County Magazine and KNSJ Radio, we wish you and your family a happy and safe Independence Day weekend. The border fire has claimed the lives of two people in Potrero and sparked criticism of sheriff's officials who residents say ignored their early pleas to launch a search for the missing couple. Frustrated by the slow response from officials even after a missing persons report was filed, community members formed their own search party. On Wednesday morning, 10 days after the fire scorched the property where Jim and Kylie Keefe lived, women volunteers found two bodies in a rocky crevice between boulders behind the couple's burned homes. The county medical's office has not yet identified the bodies, which were damaged by heat. However, searchers have said they recognize clothing as belonging to Jim and Kylie. The community set up a search website for the missing couple, and a post there indicated that the transmission on their van had died, leaving them without any way to evacuate. Cell phone and landline services were not working due to the fire, and power was also out, leaving them with no communication at all. Sheriff's officials have said they went door-to-door telling residents to evacuate, but the Keefe's property had no marked address, so no one knows if they ever received the evacuation notification. So they were left on foot with 10 dogs, and no way to get out, and no way to reach help. After the fire raged through their property, there were plenty of trouble signs. The site is the location where County Animal Services and 10 News reporter Joe Little rescued a dog with burned paws. Other dogs, initially believed abandoned during evacuation, were also rescued. But some dogs died, their carcasses left to rot for days by officials. Other dogs ran away from rescuers who tried to save them, repeatedly running toward a ridgeline where the bodies were eventually found. Sheriff's officials say some 8 days after the fire, they did search the home and vehicle, but they never followed the dogs onto that ridge behind the home, not even when vultures were spotted circling up above. A sheriff's press release claimed a deputy from the Campo Sheriff substation was first notified about the couple possibly missing on Sunday, June 26th, but he did not have their names until the next day, when a missing persons report was opened and deputies searched the property along with CAL FIRE, also checking hospitals and entering the names into a missing persons database. Authorities claim plans to bring in a search dog were underway, but delayed due to the dog being diverted to Valley Center, where a missing person was at risk. but residents dispute the sheriff's version of events. Leanne Mitsui has said she repeatedly asked a sheriff's official to launch a search, but that he refused to do so. According to Mitsui, when she asked his name, he refused to provide it. Other residents at a meeting convened by Supervisor Jacob Thursday morning made similar complaints, some saying they tried for many, many days to get authorities to search for the Keefs, but that deputies were not wearing identification in the area, ignored pleas for help, and refused to disclose their names. Mitsui complained shortly before the bodies were found, nothing is being done to locate them, other than locals putting out the word that they are missing. Officials are treating this as if it is a non-emergency. There has been no one there. Supervisor Jacob listened to the complaints with concern and called the actions unacceptable. A sheriff's official present promised to investigate claims of wrongdoing and made clear that all deputies are expected to be courteous and to take missing persons reports when asked. After community volunteers finally organized their own search starting at 8 a.m. on Wednesday morning, it took the women who climbed that rocky hill just 15 minutes to find the bodies, huddled together in those final desperate moments when fire and smoke overtook the young couple's hiding place. Searchers have said it wasn't hard for even amateurs to know where to look. They just follow the dog tracks and the smell of decay. The tragedy provides lessons on the importance of preparedness, the consequences of a town left without communications, the serious questions raised over officials' responses at the sheriff's department, and the power of a community to pull together and help each other when official responses fell shamefully short. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
The border fire destroyed five homes in East County last week, ravaging lives and memories. In Potrero, one of the families whose home burned down had already suffered a devastating loss. Their 22-year-old son, Army Sergeant Brud Cronkrite, was killed in Iraq in 2004 when a rocket-propelled grenade was fired into a nearby building while he was on a security patrol. He was awarded a Bronze Star and Purple Heart. One Cronkrite family member witnessed the home burn to the ground, adding to the anguish. His mother told NBC7 News that the family has now lost everything. But a sign put up by the state of California, honoring the memory of Sergeant Cronkrite, still stands at the I-8 overpass at Buckman Springs Road in Pine Valley. Family and fellow soldiers also posted memories of Brud at a Fallen Heroes Memorial site. Brud's brother, Billy, wrote, "He was a real true American hero who loved his country and his job as a soldier." Major W. Thomas Burns called Cronkrite a true patriot, adding, "He took care of his soldiers and continued to do so till the time he fell. He was a good friend to those fortunate enough to know him." Names of the other border fire victims who lost homes have not been released to the media. Anyone who suffered loss or damage to their property from the fire is urged to visit the San Diego County Recovery website at sdcountyrecovery.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Bill Driscoll.
During the border fire that started in the rural East County community of Potrero on Father's Day, some residents were away from home. Others were forced to be evacuated swiftly, unable to bring many of their pets and livestock with them. Some stayed behind, defying evacuation orders in order to care for their animals, and many wound up waging a desperate battle to save animals' lives. Throughout the fire, County Animal Services, the Humane Society, and other organizations worked to rescue hundreds of trapped animals, ranging from dogs and cats to horses, donkeys, and emus. At times, this was dangerous work, and not only from the fire. Animal workers trying to save a burned emu in Potrero were fired upon by a gun-wielding resident who was later arrested. But the situation grew increasingly dire in Potrero, where residents were left without communication since cell phone towers and landlines were damaged by the fire, and the power was also out, meaning electric well pumps for water were not working. Residents had no way to contact authorities to let them know where animals were in need. While small pets taken to a shelter in El Cajon were provided food and water, those left in Potrero, Campo, and Lake Morena were left to suffer and, in some cases, to die. Jan Hedlund, who had a satellite internet connection, was able to get a message out to East County Magazine on day 3 of the fire with the headline, "Trapped." She wrote, "We're trapped in Potrero. They've now shut down our only access to Tecate, Emery Lane, where there's gas, food, and cell access. They'll let us leave, but won't let us come home. If you ask one agency, they say another agency is in charge. We cannot get assistance. We have no Red Cross help, no food for animals, no water tanks," she wrote. There was also no fuel for generators, she added. Meanwhile, Dearhorn Valley Antler editor Kim Hamilton sent us an email that she received from Iris Gardner, who runs the Primeval Gardens Organic Farm in Potrero. Gardner described the plight. "We need animal food here. Dog food, cat food, chicken, rabbit, pig. Still finding lots of animals, dead and alive, without care," she wrote. "Just found 8 dogs, no water or food. Also some chickens that were barely hanging on." She said animal control was checking on animals in places where they received calls, but many other animals were suffering. She also indicated animal control would not enter places they considered dangerous, adding, "I'm just climbing over fences trying to find animals." Gardner asked her customers in Dearhorn Valley to organize a relief effort and find someone with credentials to access the evacuation zone. East County Magazine called Supervisor Diane Jacobs' office. We got a call back from Michelle Clark, who put us in touch with Dan DeSouza, head of animal services. He dispatched a delivery of animal food and water to Gardner's ranch and also sent help to check on ostriches left without water that another caller told us about. The head of the Rural San Diego CERT team, or Community Emergency Response Team through Homeland Security, also responded to our plea and dispatched help to the Potrero area to help save animals in need. Meanwhile, Kim Hamilton in Dearhorn Valley, a community previously stricken by the 2007 Harris Fire, stepped up to the plate to help others now going through a similar ordeal. She teamed up with Rapture's Horse Rescue Foundation, Rancho Jamul Reserve, Border Patrol, and local businesses and residents to gather up donated supplies and arrange to get them past the roadblock, also raising $1,500 in cash in a single day. Hamilton wrote, "I have never been more proud of a community in my whole life." She added that she is just awed at the outpouring of love and care. Chantel Grivno from Rapture's Horse Rescue Foundation wrote on her Facebook page about that ordeal. "We made it. Scary dead ends, closed roads, backing trucks and horse trailers down long, winding, steep, narrow roads, and long waits, but we got all of the supplies into Potrero." The volunteers from Dearhorn Valley and the Rapture Horse Rescue Foundation headed back again a second day, loaded up with over 200 pounds of feed and 60 bales of hay. Donations poured in from PetSmart in El Cajon, the Double S Feed Store, Walmart, and other places. But the saga continued. On the Potrero Town Feed on Facebook, farmer Colin Richard wrote that a very ugly scene is unfolding at the Highway 94 and 188 junction at Potrero's western end. He wrote that many farmers who left town for supplies were being turned away while trying to get back to their properties to feed and water animals at immediate risk of dying from hunger and dehydration. He said authorities blocked him, as well as others, carrying food tanks and hay bales for their animals, which he said truly are their livelihoods and savings accounts. He voiced anger, stating, "The unbending bureaucracy of the situation is inhumane, demeaning, and devastating the lives of some Potrero farmers." Fortunately, the roadblock was lifted that night, and the farmers were allowed to return home. Though for some, it was too little, too late. Eyewitnesses said there were many dead animals in Potrero, including at least 20,000 chickens at one hard-hit ranch, where authorities denied access to food and water trucks initially. Across Potrero, vultures feasted on the remains, grim symbols of the devastation. In the coming days, Grivno's Horse Rescue Group organized additional relief efforts to help animals left behind during the evacuations in Campo and Lake Morena, as the fire burned through those communities as well. The CHP, Border Patrol's Horse Detail, Department of Fish and Game, Lab Rescue, Humane Society, County Animal Services, CAL FIRE, and countless individuals all helped out in the Herculean effort to save animals across our backcountry. But the deaths of so many animals, in some cases not from fire, but starvation and dehydration, have led many residents to ask what can be done for the future to provide a more coordinated response, not relying solely on government agencies that were overwhelmed by the magnitude of the disaster, a disaster that, while devastating, at 7,900 acres, pales in comparison to the massive 2003 and 2007 firestorms, and potentially firestorms yet to come. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice.
Joe Seabee Sr. lost everything when his chicken farm in Ramona burned during the 2003 Cedar Fire. He suffered losses again in the 2007 firestorms when his new Potrero ranch operations were disrupted. And now, due to the border fire, he's again suffered devastating losses at the Seabee Farms facility in Potrero. This time,
Thousands of chickens died not from the flames, but from bureaucratic decisions by officials that left 100,000 chickens largely deprived of water and food for days amid triple-digit heat. In an exclusive interview with East County Magazine on June 22nd, day four of the fire, Seeby said we're running on a wing and a prayer. He estimated then that at least 20% of the flock had been lost. Power remained out. His water tanks were empty, and CAL FIRE initially denied a request to power up an emergency generator to get the water and the food flowing again. His requests to bring in trucks with feed and more water for the surviving birds were also stalled. Fire authorities cited concerns over safety of Seeby and his workers in what was still an evacuated fire zone, although the fire by then had burned past Potrero after the first day and was threatening Campbell and Lake Morena. But Seeby had cleared 25 acres of defensible space, bare ground on his 100-acre property, he said, and he voiced frustration that he was not allowed to make his own decision about taking a risk to enter the fire zone and protect his flocks. Then he learned from a TV cameraman that CAL FIRE was using his ranch as a staging ground for fire crews, so they apparently believed it was safe for firefighters to be there. He is distressed that crews, who presumably could see chickens trapped in the coops without air conditioning, feed, or water, did nothing to save the birds. When the fire began shortly after 11 a.m. on Sunday, June 19th, the ranch was evacuated, as officials asked. The ranch has an automatic feeding and watering system, but needs someone there to supervise it, and it relies on power. Two water cisterns at the property hold about 15,000 gallons of water each, but they were swiftly drained by the thirsty birds on the first day amid sweltering triple-digit heat. Some of his employees did make it to the site via a back road, but they were not allowed to help the suffering birds, so they left and were not allowed back into the property for days. Then a vineyard owner in the area who had a water truck offered to bring in a supply, but it was only enough for an hour or two to help the chickens. A second water truck operator told us that he asked Humane Society volunteers for permission to help, but was denied. Meanwhile, Seeby says he tried to get an emergency generator in and hooked up to get the well pump operating, along with a misting system to cool down the chickens, as well as the automatic feeding system. At first, SDG&E balked at the idea of the generator, fearful that feedback could electrocute a lineman doing repairs. But after Seeby explained his steps to prevent that from happening, he says SDG&E agreed to allow the generator to be hooked up and turn his power back on. But CAL FIRE still refused, perhaps for fear that energized lines might harm firefighters if they fell. Seeby asked us how many are lost now as the casualties among his flock mounted. We have no idea. The stage we're at is trying to save the living before collecting the dead. Eventually, after more negotiations, he agreed to surrender his electric meter and was finally allowed to hook up a generator and start pumping precious water on day four of the wildfire, with only a brief load allowed in between. But he still had only enough water for 24 to 48 hours. "I've got a truck on the road right now with 24 tons of feed," he told us, frustrated at his lack of access. "We don't need help from the government," he said. "We need the government to get out of our way." His biggest concern is losing breeder chickens, which could shut down his operation for months. Seeby Farms specializes in the sale of live heritage chickens. Before the 2003 Cedar Fire, Seeby says he had a 90% share of the market here, and after the 100% loss he suffered in that fire, his share dropped to 50%. We have not yet heard back from Mr. Seeby on his final assessment of losses, which are likely much higher than the 20,000 he estimated when we spoke with him during the disaster. "There's the initial loss of birds, and then how many survivors will make it to market," he explained. "But the biggest loss is losing your customer, because if you lose your customers," he reflects, "you've lost the whole business." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The border fire devastated over 7,600 acres last week in the East County communities of Potrero, Campo, and Lake Morena. 5 homes and 11 outbuildings were destroyed, and 2 lives were lost. Some ranches also lost livestock. The fire destroyed vehicles and damaged other property as well. If you suffered losses or damages in the fire, the county has some resources to help you. The county will waive permit fees for rebuilding structures after the fire, provided the buildings were properly permitted before the fire. For assistance reuniting with your pet, you can go to Animal Services' Lost Pet page or contact County Animal Services at 619-236-2341. Recovery resources are available on the San Diego County Recovery website at sdcountyrecovery.com. The site is designed to assist those recovering from the border fire or other disasters. It includes information on how to rebuild, where to get help clearing debris from your property, how to dispose of hazardous waste, and how to avoid scams and ripoffs during the rebuilding process. All residents and business owners with damages are urged to please report damages by contacting Mo Zarabi at the county. His phone number is 858-694-3012, or you can email mozarabi at sdcounty.ca.gov. That name is spelled Mo, M-O-E, Zarabi, Z-A-R-A-B-I, at sdcounty.ca.gov, and that phone number again is 858-694-3012 to report your damages. If you need additional information, you can visit sdcountyemergency.com or call 211. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Chisato Iverson with some safety tips for the 4th of July weekend. It's hot, it's dry, it's the 4th of July. These words make fire officials cringe, says Fire Chief Sam DiGenova, our own in-house fire chief and safety expert here at East County Magazine. It will be a long 3-day 4th of July weekend, and the fire department needs your help. We have a lot of resources and personnel out fighting fires statewide, and fire danger is extremely high. Fire department call loads increase significantly every 4th of July and in the days leading up to the 4th. You can help by attending professional fireworks show and keep firework-related fires and medical calls down. Here in the San Diego County, it's illegal to purchase or shoot off fireworks, which are not only dangerous but also fire dangerous. It is also illegal to launch sky lanterns with candles inside, which are banned statewide. Additionally, to help reduce the risk of fire, keep barbecue grills away from anything that can burn, and don't leave the grill unattended while it's cooking. Keep children and pets away from the grill and make sure coals are completely extinguished before disposing of them. While outdoors, stay hydrated and consume lots of water. Make sure your pets are kept indoors after dark on the 4th, since loud noises such as fireworks can scare them and cause them to run away. Contact your local fire department for additional safety information. Have a happy and safe 4th of July.
Coming up next, the Chaldean Corner on East County Magazine's radio show, bringing you news for and about our region's Iraqi Chaldean community. This is Miriam Raftery with information on Hope for Iraqi Christians, a La Mesa-based nonprofit organization that is helping Iraqi Christian refugees fleeing genocide in the Middle East. The organization has received a pledge from the Anahid Oram Memorial Refugee Fund for matching pledges. If they can raise money to sponsor 100 refugee families by July 4th, Independence Day, the matching funds will mean that 200 families will be helped. You can sponsor a family for as little as $1 a day. Each donor will receive information on the family that they adopt. Thousands of families need help, many living in small, crowded makeshift tents. You can donate or learn more at hopeforiraqichristians.org. Hope for Iraqi Christians is affiliated with the St. Peter Chaldean Diocese here in East County, home to about 50,000 Iraqi Chaldean Christians. Hope for Iraqi Christians provided the following information on the compelling need for help now. In February and April of this year, an email from the organization states, both the European Parliament and the United States officially recognized this tragedy to the Christian and other minorities as a genocide. The little assistance the refugees receive from the central government has decreased over this past year due to an 85% reduction in oil revenue in Iraq, and the world is largely silent. Consequently, the refugees are relying increasingly on donations to survive. Hope for Iraqi Christians has been assisting families in need for the last 9 years. The organization has helped over 1,500 families already in Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Turkey who have fled the genocide in their homeland. These past few years, however, have become a fight for survival for the thousands of displaced Christians in Iraq as well as throughout the Middle East. They escaped with only the clothes on their backs, in many cases, with nowhere to turn. A press release from Hope for Iraqi Christians states, in many of these countries, the refugees are not allowed to work, so this money provides much-needed assistance such as food, shelter, and medicine. It allows the first Christians, the native people of the Middle East, to help provide for their families with dignity and respect.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson. Bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes 4th of July activities galore, including picnics, parades, a train ride, and, of course, fireworks. Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions, including Descanso Days, Pine Valley Days, and a production of The Lion King.
So stay tuned for all of these events and much, much more.
The City of Santee invites you to Santee Salutes, an annual extravaganza set for Monday, July 4th from 2:30 to 10 p.m. at Town Center Community Park in Santee. The festivities include live music, a patriotic ceremony at 6 p.m., inflatable jumps for the kids and activities, food available for purchase, and a spectacular fireworks display at 9 p.m. You can visit the City of Santee's website for details.
The City of El Cajon will hold its annual 4th of July picnic and fireworks at Kennedy Park. The fun starts at 1 p.m. with food vendors, kids' activities, and live music from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. The fireworks display will be held at 9 p.m. Arrive early for parking to find the best spot for your picnic and to view the fireworks.
The Stars and Stripes will move down Main Street in Julian during this year's 4th of July parade honoring Independence Day. For over 20 years, Julian residents, their friends, and parade lovers turn out to watch what some there call the best little town parade in America. Pre-parade events start at 10 a.m. and the parade begins at noon, ending around 2 p.m. The Julian 4th of July parade honors Stars, Stripes, and Pioneers in a homegrown event that celebrates the town's Gold Rush era history, veterans and military who served our country, and local residents who cherish the special qualities of the little town tucked into the Cuyamaca Mountains. There's always a gang of local bad guys who try to rob the bank, but the sheriff rounds them up before the gunmen can get away. This year you can swing to the tunes of four bands, see the Mountain Tribal Gypsies dance down Main Street, honor World War II submarine veterans, salute Miss Julian and her entourage, and follow vintage aircraft flyovers. There will also be bunting, banners, flags, patriotic songs, equestrians, vintage vehicles, kids with animals, and the town firefighters greeted with cheers. After the parade, you can visit the Julian Women's Club Historic Quilt Show at the Julian Town Hall and stick around for a barbecue, music, and dancing at the American Legion just up the hill from the Town Hall on Washington Street. For more information, you can visit julianca.com and click on events.
You're invited to bring your family and friends to Old Poway Park to celebrate our country's independence in turn of the 20th century style on July 4th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. This event will feature patriotic entertainment, gunfighting reenactments, crafts, and old-fashioned games amid restored historic buildings and museums from the early 1900s. You can also take a ride aboard an old-fashioned train and savor tasty treats. An evening fireworks show with DJ will be held at Poway High School. Gates open at 6 p.m. with fireworks starting at 9 p.m.
And now for a preview of coming attractions. The annual Descanso Days Parade takes place on July 9th, featuring a festival at the historic Descanso Town Hall and a parade rolling out at 10 a.m. This year's theme is A Blaze of Glory. Be sure to arrive early if you come, since Viejas Grade Road shuts down before the parade, and stay late to enjoy games, food, vendor booths, and entertainment.
Disney's The Lion King has captivated the imagination of audiences around the world, and now, for the first time ever, Christian Youth Theater San Diego has the opportunity to produce this one-of-a-kind musical on July 21st through the 24th at the Helix Main Stage Theater in La Mesa. The African savanna comes to life on stage with Simba, Rafiki, and an unforgettable cast of characters as they journey from Pride Rock to the jungle and back again in this inspiring coming-of-age tale. For tickets, you can visit cytsandiego.org.
Pine Valley Days will take place July 29th and 30th in the mountain town of Pine Valley. A highlight of the two-day festival is a parade along Old Highway 80 on July 29th, starting at 9 a.m., featuring horses, bagpipes, clowns, cars, dragons, marching bands, and more. Other activities include a craft village at the Pine Valley County Park on Saturday, a Friday night deep pit barbecue and dancing in the park after dark, plus a burrito breakfast on Saturday and a music festival. For full details, you can visit pinevalleydays.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org. If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, You can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County. This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interests, not special interests. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show. This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers, and some founding mothers, who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death!
Hey. King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never! Never!
George, feel never. The smart blows never. Themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her masters, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Right, not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams,
You were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Amen.
Indeed, James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaye, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered.
Thank you, thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. We're left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government. I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
It sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brant, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. but I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man. I shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
Not.
Excellent. Hallelujah. Excellent.
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by filling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, The revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including, reportedly, flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened. Mm-hmm.
President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concern?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
Can we imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today? Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind, and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah, huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh, that sounds like Ben Franklin, doesn't it?
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen.
I'll drink to that.
President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
Yeah. Yeah.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail. where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day. Yeah. The border fire devastated over 7,600 acres last week in the East County communities of Potrero, Campo, and Lake Morena. 5 homes and 11 outbuildings were destroyed, and 2 lives were lost. Some ranches also lost livestock. The fire destroyed vehicles and damaged other property as well. If you suffered losses or damages in the fire, the county has some resources to help you. The county will waive permit fees for rebuilding structures after the fire, provided the buildings were properly permitted before the fire. For assistance reuniting with your pet, you can go to Animal Services Lost Pet page or contact County Animal Services at 619-236-2341. Recovery resources are available on the San Diego County Recovery website at sdcountyrecovery.com. The site is designed to assist those recovering from the border fire or other disasters. It includes information on how to rebuild, where to get help clearing debris from your property, how to dispose of hazardous waste, and how to avoid scams and rip-offs during the rebuilding process. All residents and business owners with damages are urged to please report damages by contacting Mo Zarabi at the county. His phone number is 858-694-3012, or you can email mozarabi at sdcounty.ca.gov. That name is spelled Mo, M-O-E, Zarabi, Z-A-R-A-B-I, at sdcounty.ca.gov, and that phone number again is 858-694-3012 to report your damages. If you need additional information, you can visit sdcountyemergency.com or call 211. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.